Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and I hope that something I've prepared to speak to you this morning will be beneficial to you in some way, and that we can all grow and be strengthened by our time here together this morning. I feel like the older that I get, the more I hear people saying that the world is the darkest that it's ever been. I hear people making comments about how dark the world feels, how evil the world is around us, and of course, they're not really meaning that the sun's getting darker, but there's a feeling among many that the world is getting further and further from the good and wholesome things and turning more to evil. I'm not going to argue that point right now. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to argue it right now. If you want to talk to me about it, I'm willing to talk about it, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. What we're talking about this morning is to be a light. I heard somebody on the radio talking about this and feeling that things were getting darker, and they said that, we got to just shine our light. I said, and I was thinking, well, I don't quite agree with the first part, but I definitely agree with the second part. Many of those who make the kind of statements that the world is getting darker and darker feel like they need to pull back from the world, feel like they need to hide from the world. I've felt it. I've wanted to hide, wanted to keep away from it, block it all out, ignore that it exists. But does this match the way that we're told to live? Does it match the way that we are told to be Christians to just ignore that the world exists? I want to talk this morning about the way that we act and how we handle the darkness around us. We're called to be children of light as Christians, but what does that mean? Where does the light come from? Every light has some source of energy. The bulbs that we have in this building are powered by electricity, but every light source has some form of energy behind it. What is the light, the source of our light? What is the light itself? So let's start with the basic question. What is the light? Where do we get it? What is it? In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and we'll stay fairly frequently in the books of John, both in John and 1 John this morning, because he talks about this quite a bit. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." The scriptures seem to be very clear that God is the source of light, and that it came to us through Jesus. It talks about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us to bring us that light and to be that light. It talks about John the Baptist bearing witness to the light, telling us that he would be coming, explaining this and giving us that expectation of the light that was to come. And finally, in verse 9, it says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." So we see that Christ is the light. He is the true light, that the Word is the light that has come to the world to give light to man. But what is that? In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So clearly it's connected to life in some way. We've seen that in both of these passages. But not only that, it's straight from God. In 1 John 1 and verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So God is the light. Jesus, in correlation with God, is also the light. And through that, he brought the word to this earth that gives us the light of life, the way to live, the way to serve God, the way to be right with him. In 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if we follow the righteous commands, if we follow the pattern that he has set, if we do the things that he has given to us to do, to be righteous, to be right with him, that's how we're in the light. That's how we have the light. And that's how it says that we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed of our sins, walking in that light with him. You know, this was interesting to me as I looked through this, because realistically, this concept has been given to us throughout the entirety of Scripture. There's quite a few verses about this, but one of the ones that's the most prevalent and the most easy to connect is Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." As David speaks of the word of God and the commands that had been given to him and to the nation of Israel as a whole, he says, "They're the light to my path. They're the guide to me. They're what gives me the chance to move forward, that my steps may not falter, that I can walk in your ways, that I can walk in your truth. Your word is the light to me." And John takes that same message and he says, that word is Christ. We have the word. We have the light for our life. We have the way of life available to us anywhere we go. So what is the light? It's the Word of God. It's connected through Jesus. It's connected through God. Both of them giving it to us. And then it leads us to show that light. So how do we shine? I'm not talking about singing a little song and making our light shine. How do we shine as Christians? How do we show the light of Christ? How do we show the love of God? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Christ speaking here says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know what happens when it's real dark? Any little amount of light is visible. If the world gets darker, what does our light do? It shines brighter. Not because we're getting better or because it's any more potent, but because it's more different. Let your light shine. I was talking with Ken and Chris about light, and I think it was at the study we do for preparing for sermons, and they were talking about being on the ocean and seeing a light in the distance, and it's way further away than you think it is. Because here, like, we have light all around us. We used to joke if we drove out of town that we would drive back to the glow of Lubbock, because there's lights all around. We see it all around us, and sometimes it's even hard to see the stars in town. But you get in a place where it's real dark, one, your eyes adjust to see a little bit better, but two, every little pinprick of light is going to show up very clearly. Christ didn't say, you can be a light to the world. He said, you are. He said, you're like a city on a hill that can't be hidden. Let your light shine. So what does it mean? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. In the entire previous chapter, he's gone through an explanation about the new man and how a Christian should act because they have this new heart and new spirit in them, and that a Christian should show that. And so he says in Ephesians 5 and 1, be imitators of God. Show him through your actions. Act like him. Be like him. You know, the moon doesn't have its own light. It doesn't make its own light. There's no energy source on the moon that is giving us light during the night. You know what that light comes from? It comes from the sun. That's where the energy comes from. What are we doing when we are showing the light of Christ? We're acting as a reflection. We're reflecting the sun in our actions. We're showing his love and his truth and his light to the world around us. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, Romans 13, verses 8 through 14 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And continuing in verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Cast off the works of darkness. I don't usually think of cast off as just setting it aside, as throwing it as far as you can. Get rid of it. Throw it away. It doesn't need to be around. It doesn't need to be dabbled in. It doesn't need to be touched every once in a while. It doesn't need to be cleaned up and looked at. It needs to be gotten rid of. I had to get rid of a bunch of socks a while back because they were wearing holes in them. I didn't want them anymore. They hurt my feet. So I threw them in the trash. They're not in my house anymore. Cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of them. Don't allow them in your house. Or as verse 14 puts it, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't have something set up so that you can fix the lust problem by dabbling in it. That's not fixing anything. Gather the light to you. Put on the armor of light. It's there to protect you. It's there to guide you. It's there to strengthen you through the darkness of this world. In Ephesians 5, verses 6 through 13, continuing in that passage that we read a little bit of earlier, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is the light. Expose the darkness. Show it for what it is. And completely blast it out of existence. You know, that's what light does. Where there's light, darkness doesn't exist. We can't sit around expecting ourselves to be okay when our hearts are dark. Expose them, reprove them, fight the darkness with the light. In all goodness, righteousness, and truth, to find what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing with light. We're supposed to be taking it and live it. Use the word for its purpose, to lead you, to guide you, to take you to that home where there's more light than we could ever imagine. First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, kind of explains how that light ends up showing itself in our lives. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." It is your good works, it is your good deeds, it is your actions that follow in the light, that show the light of Christ to the world. I think that's part of what Paul is talking about when he says that faith without works is dead, or James, one of them, that says that faith without works is dead. He's talking about it being impossible for us to have the faith in God, to follow him, and to serve him in that light without showing that light, without doing the works that lead us to that light. And so sometimes there's going to be things that appear to be light. There's going to be things that try to look like light but are really darkness. There's been a lot of people that have been confused by strips of lights that have been appearing in the sky over the last few years. And what that really is a strip of satellites going across the sky. And people have thought they were meteors or stars or something and then got confused by it. Braille has thought several times that an airplane was a star that was moving across the sky. It's just that there's lights that are confusing because you don't know exactly what they are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of light, apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." If we are by our works showing the light of Christ, those who are following the ways of the world will also show through their works who they follow. We just have to be careful and make sure that we're not confused by those who appear and act as if they are angels of light, as if they are followers of Christ, when they are really following their own lusts and desires. In Luke 11, in verses 33 through 36, it says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." It's easy to allow things that look good to take a part in our minds to the point that we do not have the full truth in us. I've been thinking a lot lately about different things, teachings, imagery, etc., that seem like they're the truth. I've seen a lot of it lately. And I don't know if it's just that the little bit of social media I end up on is is filled with that. But they're things that seem like they're righteous, but all the while they have slight misinformation or slight mistakes in their teaching in them. They lead away. They may not seem bad. They may not seem that wrong. But if you start really diving deep, it doesn't look quite right. You ever seen what it looks like with a black light on in a room? There's several different like putt-putt or bowling type things that'll have black lights on as part of their fun things that they do. And while a black light can be interesting to play under, it's very deceiving as to the actual colors and appearance of a room. If someone has just a little bit of light, they may look like they've got it figured out. They may look like there is brightness to them, but they may not be showing the true colors. Let us bring in the full shining of the lamp, as Luke says here, and get the full light in. Make sure that we know what we're looking at. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Doesn't matter if you have some parts that are light, if you still have a great deal of darkness in you. It's kind of like the parable of the beam and the mote. He tells them not to try to help a brother out with a mote in their eye if they've got a beam sticking out of their own eye. If you've got a great deal of problems in your life, you won't be able to fully teach or show the light of Christ, because you yourself are not walking in the light. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." We mentioned that our good works is how we shine. In Philippians here, he's saying essentially what people are saying now. That there's a crooked and perverse generation. There's a lot of evil in the world. I will not deny that. But it simply allows us to shine as lights in this dark world. The world has been dark since the fall in the garden. God sent his Son to give us light, to give us the way home, to give us the truth so that we could follow it and so that we could bring others to him by shining our lights in the world around us. So I ask you this morning to be the light. Christ said, "You are the light of the world." He didn't say you should be. He didn't say you can be. He said you are. The world will look at us. Christ came and gave his life to create the church. He set us as a city on a hill to the world. So we must show his light to the world around us. We've received these great blessings through him. We've received this family. We've received the hope of a home forever with him. How could we not show the light? How could we not try to bring others to him, so that they can receive those blessings as well? This morning, if you have not become a part of the family of Christ, I ask you to do it. Follow that light home. God sent his Son to give us that way, to guide us on that path, to give us the truth, to set us free. If you are a Christian this morning and you're struggling with your walk with Christ, I ask you to ask for help. We all struggle, we all stumble, we all lose the light every once in a while. Sometimes we got to have somebody turn on the light so we can see to keep walking. If you're struggling with your spiritual health this morning in any way, or you need the prayers of the church, we ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front pews. We stand and sing.